Hi, I'm Heidi Sinclair. I'm a MD-MPH. I work in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge. I know Alma Stewart from Baton Rouge, who are members of the Coalition Healthcare for Everyone Louisiana, Campaign for Healthcare for Louisiana. And I work as a hospitalist here when I'm in New Orleans, and I work with kids in the schools in Baton Rouge, behavioral health. I was an advocate before I was a physician, so use what I can to continue advocacy work. I apologize because the writing on here is really small. You're not going to be able to read it. But if anyone is interested, I can email them a copy and just ask me afterwards. So who here is a physician? Anyone? Okay. And who here is from Louisiana? All right. And anyone from any other red states or states that have not expanded Medicaid? Okay. So Doctors for Americas grew out of sort of a group of doctors that were volunteering to help Obama get elected, Obama for America. And but it's not a tool of Obama. the goal is universal health care, whatever's the best way to get there. And right now, of course...
Is the mic on? Are you hearing this?
It's not. Hello? It's not on.
Thank you very much.
How about now? No?
Hello?
Well, how are we going to record? I'll go look for some tech people to get
okay.
the mic going.
And I'll try to talk louder. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I was going to tell you a little bit about Doctors for America and then just talk about where the Medicaid expansion battle is in the country, and give you some feedback from some of our other Doctors for America people in some of the states that have not expanded Medicaid, and two that have since. So, all right, that's this, I just put this in there because it talks about coverage is good medicine campaign, and they had a statewide enrollment tour in Florida. They helped enroll people but also educate people about the barriers to Medicaid expansion, because it seems totally counterintuitive when you go to, hey, you know, here's this great new health plan. Oh, I'm sorry, you're too poor. You can't get subsidized health insurance. So, we're hoping. So, one of my colleagues, Mona, they rented a van and they went out of Tampa and they went to a bunch of different places, and they did health screenings, helped enroll people, worked with navigators, and then also talked about Medicaid expansion. So, we're hoping to do something similar coming in January here in Louisiana. Also educating providers, educating med students, residents, and media. A lot of people have been on MSNBC, Fox News, NPR, et cetera, and, you know, here in Louisiana, you know, radio appearances, television appearances. In Florida, they've been involved in debates, so those are kind of exciting. I'm a little scared to do that, but... the fundraiser that they did last year and this year is called the Race for Coverage, and it helped raise the profile about Medicaid expansion as well as raise funds. So doctors are maybe not the number one messenger, but one of the number one messengers in healthcare, and a lot of people don't realize that most physicians actually are in support of the healthcare, the new healthcare law, and Medicaid expansion. May not be true in Louisiana, but nationwide. There's 4 to 5 million Americans that are falling into the coverage gap. So Doctors for America is a national movement of physicians and med students working together to improve the health of the nation and ensure everyone has access to affordable, high-quality health care. This is a list of the board of directors, executive staff. There's only three paid people, but about 16,000 quote-unquote members, some more active than others. So everybody else is a volunteer. Vivek Murthy, who is the president and co-founder, was nominated for Surgeon General. His nomination's been on hold because of Rand Paul, because he said that guns are a public health issue. So that's another campaign right now. Is to, you know, please call your senators. coverage is good medicine, health reform, and getting people covered. Okay, the healthcare law, how it was originally constructed or thought of, is that people over a certain income level would be able to get health insurance through marketplace exchanges. If you're low income, which they were defining as less than 400% of poverty level, which Louisiana would be kind of rich, but you could even qualify for a subsidy, and that everybody who was less than poverty level was going to be covered through Medicaid. Most, or a lot of people don't really understand that Medicaid eligibility is very different from state to state. So some states, they already cover people up to 100% of poverty level, but other states, if you are an able-bodied adult under the age of 65, you don't get covered at all. And if you're a parent, it varies from state to state what percentage of poverty level you'll be covered by Medicaid. So, as we know, the Supreme Court said that the law and the individual mandate were constitutional, but states can't be punished if they don't expand Medicaid. The cost of Medicaid expansion would be covered by the federal government 100% for the first 3 years, and slowly decreasing to 90%, but never less than that. 27 states so far, plus Washington, D.C., have moved ahead with expansion, and Indiana's debating, Utah's debating. So this is just what I was explaining, that we have an umbrella with a hole in the middle. Some people are covered by Medicaid, and other people can get the marketplace subsidies, but we still have a whole lot of people in the states that didn't expand Medicaid who have no coverage. And here's our state's expansion status. LA. So these are some of the states where Doctors for America members are working with coalition partners to expand Medicaid. So if you are interested and y'all are working on this issue yourself, go on the website, Doctors for America, with a DRS, not the word DRS, doctorsforamerica.org, and there's probably somebody in your state who would love to partner with you. Success, Arizona, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. So they have accepted Medicaid expansion. So this is the federal poverty level for an individual. Of one person, it would be about $11,500, and say for a parent with two kids, it's $19,530. So that's poverty level. This is very busy. This is from CMS, but I just pulled out of there an example. Caught in the coverage gap here in Louisiana, anywhere from 220 to 260,000 people. For example, an individual who's making less than $11,000 a year, which we do have a lot of people that are making less than that in Louisiana, or a parent with two children who's making more than $3,700, but making less than $19,000. Okay, so it's hard for people to wrap their mind around it. No, you are too poor. You have to be so poor that you're making less than $3,700 a year to qualify for Medicaid. Your kids can get Medicaid, though. So that's something, better than nothing. So we actually did better than expected on our enrollment, 110,000 enrolled. We still have 18% uninsured. And what are our barriers? Governor Bobby Jindal, our state legislature. Unfortunately, the state medical society has not endorsed Medicaid expansion either. Orleans Parish Medical Society did sign on the letter to Bobby Jindal, and I heard they got their hands spanked for that. So. Healthcare for Everyone Louisiana. So these are some of the partners in this coalition. This And there's other groups as well that are working for or in support of Medicaid expansion that aren't part of that specific coalition, such as the Jeremiah Group, Fuentes, Planned Parenthood, ACP is slowly going to start reactivating its advocacy group. So, and I'm going to be on that. Who are some other potential partners? Louisiana State Medical Society, don't want to give up, and other rural hospitals, academic medical centers. So far, they've been kind of scared to speak up and sitting on the sidelines. You know, been working more with the faith community, college students, etc. So far, I don't know if any of the newspapers have come out in opposition to Medicaid expansion. All of the ones that I've read have been in support, so that's good too. That's helpful. So, what are some of the things that we've done? We've testified before state, senate, and health and welfare committees. We've made phone calls, letters to the editors, press conferences, journal clubs. Participated in vigils, the Dying for Coverage vigils. And those were really cool because there was a number of people from the disability community as well that were there and spoke, and people came from all over the state. What would have been better is if we could have gotten some decent media coverage. Future actions, we talked about the Dying for Coverage Patient Over Politics State Tour. Want to do the vigils again, continue our coalition building and public education outreach to rural hospitals. It's kind of frustrating for me, you know, when I'm taking care of these kids, and the mom comes in, she can't get care, and her boyfriend got cut off of Medicaid waiver program, you know. So then, you know, because he's bipolar, and now he got depressed, and he tried to commit suicide, he was in the hospital, and then she's like, it's that damn Obamacare, you know, so you're like, ah, and I was like, no. What is the outlook for Medicaid expansion in Louisiana, 2015? Unlikely, but we're going to do what we can. 2016, this is interesting. It's already becoming an issue in the future's governor's race. We hear Vitter and Darden and all these people saying that we consider it. So probably our best bet at this point is more emphasis on advocacy in the community than trying to sway the legislators. All right, Georgia, just in short, coverage gap, $432,000. If you're a mom with two kids, you would have to make less than $6,800 a year to qualify for Medicaid. Barriers there. Their governor, Nathan Deal, has repeatedly announced he will not expand Medicaid, and the legislature passed the bill that the governor cannot approve Medicaid expansion without legislative approval. They've also done many of the similar things. They've also been, wasn't her, someone else is a professor at a med school, so she's been having groups and talking to large and small student groups as well. Almost all of the states have broad coalitions with lots of people that are involved, and in some states, you know, they're saying this is really unprecedented. You'll have, you know, Planned Parenthood sitting at the table with, you know, Ohio Right to Life, you know. So I think that's encouraging as well, and hopefully will be something that could be of use in the future. Outlook for Medicaid expansion in Georgia is gloomy, though there is discussion of a possible voucher program. Florida, uninsured. They have one of the highest rates of uninsured. In 2013, it was 3 million people. Went down a little bit with the new healthcare law. Almost a million people enrolled in the new healthcare law, but caught in the coverage gap. Still another 700,000 to 800,000 people. In Florida, if you're a parent with two children, you'd have to make less than $5,800 to qualify for Medicaid. They've done a lot in Florida. They have a number of members, and can't read all this, but they also network with some national groups that I hadn't considered before, such as Working Families and They were able to get the Florida Medical Association to pass a resolution in support of Medicaid expansion, and that was definitely not a given. And Governor Rick Scott was actually in support of Medicaid expansion initially, and now he's kind of not really pushing it. It kind of makes sense because his organization is what he's the owner of the largest private Medicaid clinic group. So it makes sense he would be in favor, but politically, I guess he can't be anymore. Future actions. They've done physician advocate trainings. They're going to do two more. And this is something I really wish I had time to do, and I hopefully will have time, because you can't get that much done if you don't have other people to help you out. So training other people to be advocates is very a good strategy. They're going to be doing op-eds and then targeted legislative visits. So they tried to visit as many people as possible last year. This year, they're like, that was a waste of time. So they are picking and choosing who to visit. And they plan for a large rally with a visual event to coincide with the opening of the legislative session in March. Outlook grim. So it's a Republican supermajority in Florida. Oklahoma. Call the coverage gap, 150,000 people. A parent with two kids would have to make less than 8,000. And Move On has been doing some work there, but and they do some work here. We don't really like work directly with them. Same with Organizing for America. We don't work directly with them because they're really seen as part of the Democratic Party. And I don't have a problem with what they do in Louisiana, but Kathy Sherman says that she's doing her best to kind of keep distance from any group that's seen as liberal, because that could actually backfire for them. So outlook for Medicaid expansion in Oklahoma, unfortunately, also dismal, because Governor Mary Fallon is aspiring to national office, and they have had several rural hospitals go bankrupt. North Carolina, they're not that active right now, but they've done some actions with the groups that are doing the Moral Mondays. Caught in the coverage gap there, half a million people. 70% of low-income adults are not covered by Medicaid. Texas actually has the largest percentage of uninsured, 27%. Now it's down to 24%, so that's pretty good considering they didn't expand Medicaid. And caught in the coverage gap, almost 800,000 people. And I was surprised by this, but a parent with two children in Texas would have to make less than $2,900 to qualify for Medicaid, so they're even worse than Louisiana. So, Robert Ludeke's anesthesiologist, and he actually presented a resolution to the Texas Medical Association, and he got some other people to kind of help rally the troops, and he managed to get 500 members, which was 60% of the Texas Medical Association, to vote in support of Medicaid expansion. They have a really large coalition, and they also one advice that someone from Texas gave me was to reach out to the Latino community. We don't have as large of a Hispanic community here as in Texas, of course, but that's something that kind of overlooked. Outlook there, they're actually a little bit optimistic, because the Medical Advisory Board was appointed by Governor Rick Perry, and it's a very conservative group, and they recommended a quote-unquote Texas solution, sort of like how Arkansas has done with vouchers. And so they're thinking with this cover and a new governor who is a Republican, that he's not trying to be president, that they may find a way to work something out where they can save face and get money and help people. So, Utah, the governor actually came out in support of Medicaid expansion, but so far they haven't managed to get it through the legislature. They have fewer people caught in the coverage gap there, which is good. And a lot of stuff here, I'm sorry, but some of the things that they've done that were kind of cool were postcards in the park. They would go to parks where they knew there was a lot of people, or they'd go to the farmers markets. They said the farmers markets were really good, and they had little postcards, and they had people fill them out and sent them to state legislators and to the governor, urging support of of Medicaid expansion. I think they're calling it the Healthy Utah Plan. They are running, they were actually really getting more and more support. They really turned around a fairly conservative legislature, but now they're running into some problems with this group called the Foundation for Government Accountability. It comes out of Florida, and they're one of those dark money, Koch-founded, ALEC-affiliated groups that's putting out a lot of newspaper ads, radio ads, television ads, you know, telling people that the Healthy Utah Plan is bad, bad idea. So they're planning to actually spend money. Some, you know, the DFA group in Utah, they're going to try to spend some money to counter some of those ads. Oh, this slide got messed up. But Arizona, success! Okay. Their Governor Brewer, has accepted Medicaid expansion. She's not really pushing it or promoting it, but there's other people that are, and they've managed to enroll 100,000 people in newly enrolled in Arizona's Medicaid, and 120,000 enrolled in the new health care law. So Cover Arizona is another big coalition, more than 600 organizations. They also have the support of the healthcare sector, which we don't really have here, and the Chamber of Commerce. So, unfortunately, many of the Republican legislators that voted in support lost in the most recent election. So, Ohio, they also were successful with both the Republican legislature and governor. Newly enrolled in Medicaid, 156,000 enrolled in through the healthcare law, 154, so that's over 300,000 enrolled, and they also have built a really broad coalition. They have a group called the Alliance that they broke up how they're doing their advocacy into seven different state regions. So that's another interesting strategy. Expanding access to the uninsured, 12 to 13 more million people are insured now, 7 million from state and federal marketplace, so 6 million increase in Medicaid enrollment, and 4, 5, or 6 million, depends how you add it up, still caught in the coverage gap. So, access issues ahead. We need to reach more of the uninsured, expand Medicaid, and those states have not expanded, and then work on network adequacy, workforce, cost of premiums, deductibles, co-pays, and co-insurance. So some of these are already, healthcare advocates are already having to work on, either in the private insurance market or in the Medicaid market. Next steps. The end. Questions?
Two questions at the end.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.